The Old Testament reading today comes from Genesis 12, 1 through 9. Prepare your hearts and listen to the word of our Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you are a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to a place at Shechem, to the oak of the Morah. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It's good to be with you this morning. Again, I want to welcome you to worship. And those of you that are here and have been here for the last few weeks, you know that we are in the beginning of a series of messages that are paralleling the stories that our children will be learning in their godly play. We're looking at the big stories of the narrative of the scripture, the stories of God's story. And the reason that we're doing this is not just so that we can hear familiar texts, that we don't have to hear new stuff, but that these are the core narratives. These are the core stories that make up the big story of the scripture. They help us to understand what God's plan is for the church, for our lives. And we're here this morning because we believe that by placing our lives in front of this open word, in front of God's holy word, in front of these texts, that the God of the universe has something to say to us. Today's text is just one of these important, pivotal texts. The words of today's message, the words of today's passage, are some of the most important, culture-defining, culture-shaping words that have ever been written. One historian said that until God spoke to Abraham, or Abram, and said, "Go," people and cultures didn't have any sense of a future. Their lives were cyclical. But all of a sudden, when God said to Abram, "Go to the land that I will show you," all of a sudden, history became linear. People had a future. Now, by way of connecting last week with this week, in flooding the earth, God's intent was to start fresh, new beginning. And as I mentioned last week, God was not under the illusion that by flooding the world that the people after would finally get it. They would finally live in faithfulness, in union with God. That wasn't the purpose of the flood. The flood was not some sort of do-over. What the rainbow signified, God's covenant signified, was that never again would God exact punishment on a cause and effect basis against the people. God's plan now was to forever be the God of new creation. That destroying the earth was never again going to be a part of his plan. God's character from then on would be forever kind, generous, merciful, forbearing. Now, that doesn't mean that God becomes a doormat, but it means that God's faithfulness would be trustworthy. In chapter 11, the people got it in their minds that they thought that they could rise, elevate themselves to the same level as God, and so they built this tower, Tower of Babel. And God confused their speech and scattered them among the nations. And now we come to the story of Abram. The Bible says that Abram's father, Terah, took his son, Abram, his grandson, Lot, along with Abram's wife, Sarah, and he went out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to the land of Haran, in between Ur and Canaan, when they came to Haran, it says they settled there. We don't know much about Abram's life in Haran, except that it was pretty comfortable. We learn later that Abraham and his family were very rich. They had many, many sheep, and they had a large caravan that went with them. So large, in fact, that when they later got to Egypt, they even caused the Pharaoh's eyebrows to rise, thinking, whoa, this is quite the arrival. So we know that Abram and his family were well off. Then God speaks to Abram while he's in Haran, and he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. This is what we're searching for, right? This is what we all long for in our life, isn't it? Whether we realize it or not, every one of us is after this notion. We want to be a blessing with our family, with our community, maybe to the world around us. Deep down inside, what we want for our lives is to do something good, to be a blessing to someone else, to make the world, or maybe just my family, a little bit better. We want to be a blessing to someone. We want somebody to stand up at our funeral maybe someday and say, so-and-so, they did the best with what they had at the time that they were given. This is the kind of legacy that we want to leave, right? This is how we want to be remembered. We want to be remembered as somebody who was a blessing. Well, notice how the legacy, notice how this begins with Abram. God says to Abram, leave your place of comfort, leave your place of security, leave your place of familiarity, leave the place of routine and ease. Leave the place where things just seem to be on autopilot and go. Okay, God, where? To the place where I will show you. I don't know if I like the sound of that deal. What we want is for God to show us each step of the way and give us the resources up front to make our journey safe and comfortable. That's what we want. What God gives us, however, is a call. He says, go. Take this journey, whether it's a family or a career journey, whether it's moving to a new place or serving in a new ministry, or perhaps your journey is just a project that feels more like it's more than you can handle. Whatever it is, that makes you feel like you don't have the resources, that you don't know the way, God says, go. When in your life have you been led to go to the place where God will show you? Many of you might have heard Amy's and my story of how we came to Wabash. For me, it began in an apartment living room in St. Paul, Minnesota in about 2004. The night that I got word from Princeton Theological Seminary that they had admitted me for attendance as a student. I guess I fooled them. So New Jersey, that's a little bit different than Minnesota. I suppose I can endure New Jersey for a few years. Now, I go out there and I spend my few years there, and after graduation, where was I going? North Jersey. Not only am I staying in New Jersey, but I'm going to a brand new place where I don't know anybody again. I can't seem to get out of this state. So little did I know that that would be the place that would change my life forever, because that's where I would begin to date the woman of my dreams. And then it was after our marriage, we moved back to get married, and after that, I got to spend 6 months in a way that every young married husband dreams, living with my in-laws. We told people that we just had much older roommates and that the rent was perfect. The next call was literally off the grid to Southern Illinois, 5 miles outside of a town of 550 people. Y'all have seen Northern Exposure, that TV show from the 90s. I was literally living Sicily, Alaska. Our closest neighbor, a 75-year-old paranoid schizophrenic with 35 cats and literally a ton of manure dumped in his front yard. Apparently he was going to garden. He never got around to that project. But we would spend those 2 years in Illinois. It would be some of the most formative and important years of our lives. It was where our son Christian was born. And had I known in advance, if I had asked God, I want you to show me what my journey is going to be way back in St. Paul. And if God had obliged and given me what I wanted, I would have never gone. I would have never taken that journey. Are you kidding me? The marker of a genuine calling, the marker of a true call from God, is that it offers more questions than answers. It invites us to step out into the unknown in an act of faith. Because if you knew where you were going, if I knew where my call was going to lead, I would have been terrified in that moment. And so would you. Mercy, provision, strength unfold along the way. God gives us enough mercy, enough grace, enough strength for today. He always provides it right on time. There's that old saying that says, God's provision is never too early and it's never too late. It's always right on time. The way the calling in your life comes is it's always inviting you to leave. It didn't come when Abram's father had settled. It came when Abram was called to go. Throughout the Bible, faith is developed among the people when they are asked to go. It's not given up front because we know that we would not take the journey if we were given everything up front. But it is learned along the way as we are blessed to be a blessing. Our faith in God is always developed and strengthened along the way. And it's not a direct way either. You'll notice that when the Israelites moved from place to place, they never took the most direct route. They always took the hard road. They always went the wilderness road. They always went the road that required them to place the most trust in God. God always leads us on a winding road. And so we shouldn't be surprised, because it's there, it's on the hard roads, where this true spiritual strength, where the true spiritual fortitude, where the deepening faith is forged, on the hard road. Then even when the Israelites reach the promised land, which they do later on, what do? They walk around the city of Jericho 7 times. I mean, even when they're in the promised land, they're either going further from the promised land or they're coming back to the promised land. The only time that the Israelites run into problems is when they settle. There's no settling down on our walk with God. If you're in that well-worn groove, or if you feel like your life is on autopilot, it might be time to make some changes. It might be time to listen for that still small voice. It might be time to step out in faith. In the New Testament, Jesus always calls his disciples. The very first thing he asks them to do is what? Leave. Leave your fishing nets. Leave your family. That's a tough one. Leave your tax booth. Leave your sin. Leave your pride. Leave your insecurity. Leave your fear. Leave your self-righteousness. And follow me. Don't settle anymore. Because the life that is fully alive in Jesus, the life that is lived in this power of the Spirit, is full of drama. It's full of excitement. It's full of adventure. It's full of uncertainty. Because we're not thinking about settling down. Instead, we're thinking about following. And along the way, we become much less concerned about where we're going as we do become concerned about being a blessing to those around us. You are blessed to be a blessing. The blessings that come to you are not for you. They're not because of you. They're not because of anything we've done. They are for you to bear witness to the God who is always inviting us on the way. And sometimes that means sacrifice takes place along the way. It takes sacrifice for us to be able to see that way clearly. When Abram finally made it to Canaan, the first thing that he did you notice the first thing that he did? He didn't drive out the Canaanites. He didn't go to battle with the foreigners. You know what he did? He set up an altar. Twice, actually, in our text today, Abram sets up an altar to bless those around him. In the time that they would be in Canaan, there would be good times, there would be bad times. They would have good choices and they would have bad choices. But Abram just keeps setting up altars and making sacrifices. Sacrificing those things, that fear. You know, I think we need maybe to think about, Protestants need to think about having altars and not just communion tables. Because we need to sacrifice those things that keep us from being on the way. Sacrifice our comfort. Sacrifice our insecurity that keeps us from going. Sacrifice our vision of how it was supposed to be or what the family looks like. Sacrifice the 401k or the retirement. Sacrifice whatever it is that keeps us settled. Maybe that's what we need to put on the altar. Maybe it's our shame. Maybe it's our insecurity. Maybe it's our guilt. Abram just kept building altars and sacrificing so that he could get on with the business of being a blessing to those around him. Abram never stopped building altars, and neither should we. So that now your heart, our hearts, and our hands can be free to do the things that God has called us to be a blessing. Because that is at the heart of God's plan for our lives. No matter where you go, be very clear, we are going in order that we can be a blessing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, whatever it is in our lives that keeps us settled, that keeps us in that well-worn path, whatever it keeps us stagnant. I pray that you would give us the courage and the faith to place it on the altar, to give it to you, to release it so that we could be free to see the blessings as given to us to be a blessing to others. May that be what this church is known for. And I pray that along the way that you would give us the faith, that you would give us the strength, that you would give us the courage to trust you each step of the way. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.